Right, I saw that. Yeah.
Folks, take your seat, please.
Well, then I'll let him talk now because the others.
He's going to do water rights.
Okay.
All right. Throw it at somebody?
We are all here. The staff here. Okay. Is Mark Marai here from the Strawberry Commission? Is he here?
He was, so I think he just stepped out.
Okay. Well, I was going to give him the opportunity to go right now, so let's start with Lisa Lurie. And then are there a number of speakers that are following you as part of your?
Six of us.
Six of you. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Marai may, I may insert him as soon as he shows up. So okay. Why don't you go ahead.
He comes right now.
Okay. Mr. Marai, please come down here. You're going to go first. You have a plane to catch. You have a plane to catch. We'll take you now.
Thank you, Chairman Young,
okay,
members of the board.
With these.
My name is Mark Marai. I'm the president of the California Strawberry Commission, and I'm also a third-generation strawberry grower. Thank you for giving us some time. There's no doubt when I see some of those slides that were put up, that's an example of some bad situations here. But there's a lot of good examples of some good practices that are happening, and many of those were explained here today. This is going to take a very comprehensive approach to solve this problem. There's a lot of legacy problems we're dealing with here. And I want to reach out. I know the board or the staff has mentioned about some outreach, but to be fair, I don't think it was very extensive. As a matter of fact, Mr. Briggs, as you know, we met after the draft was written. And I think the Strawberry Commission sees a great opportunity here. We are a good example of we have an award-winning program around food safety and training. We've actually trained 80% of our industry on a voluntary basis within the last 14 months. And it's an award-winning program, and it can be done. So I ask, and I know other ag associations and other organizations, I saw the Monterey County Water Resources Agency kind of panel who kind of advises them. And I'd really, at that point, I'd love to see the Strawberry Commission be part of that because this is going to take an approach that's very comprehensive, but yet also have a laser-like focus around some of these commodities. As you talk to a strawberry grower or a lettuce grower here, we have very different ideas on what we need to do to achieve certain goals. And we have to look at some of the other complexities about who our farmers are, like Mr. Shimmick said, the movement there, but then also what we do as a California strawberry grower and what we do as a California lettuce grower, there could be some crossovers. But also to really hit the culture and to really change the culture of the strawberry grower, we are going to need to take a laser-like focus around that area and like some of the other areas. And there are organizations that can help do this. We just need extra collaboration. We need to ask you to please direct the staff to work more collaboratively with the organizations that represent some of the commodities. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Briggs, you can make note of that?
Do we note it? And we have met, as he
okay.
said.
Okay. Not just strawberries, but other commodities.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Lisa Lurie, then.
Great. Well, good afternoon. My name is Lisa Lurie. I'm with the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, and I'm the coordinator of the AQUA partnership. The Agriculture Water Quality Alliance, or AQUA, is a unique partnership whose mission is to protect water quality in the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary and the productivity of Central Coast ag lands through a voluntary stewardship approach. AQUA is guided by a steering committee whose members are here today to present coordinated comments to the board to help us achieve our mutual goal of water quality protection. For over a decade, AQUA has brought together growers, technical service providers, researchers, and resource conservation agencies to address agricultural water quality issues together. The 2004 Ag Waiver acknowledged growers already participating in many AQUA-supported programs, such as the Short Course and Farm Water Quality Plan. We encourage the regional board to consider the following principles as we move forward in this process to develop a revised ag order. First, collaboration is critical for implementation of both regulatory and non-regulatory approaches to protecting water quality. Second, local experts recognized, as has been mentioned, that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. Growers need flexibility to implement practices to improve water quality that makes sense on their field. Thirdly, utilize local experts to evaluate the technical feasibility and ability of proposed recommendations to improve water quality. AQUA partners can serve as a resource for this technical input. As you elected this morning, this current process will continue on until March of 2011. While the regulatory review process marches on, stewardship efforts of growers and AQUA partners continue. AQUA would like to keep the board and the public apprised of our efforts and would propose providing regular updates as a standing item on future board agendas as something to consider. With that, I'd like to turn it over to my fellow AQUA partners.
My name is Marty Johnson, and I'm the Resource Conservation District Coordinator for the Agricultural Water Quality Alliance. I've worked with RCDs in the Central Coast area since the year 2000 over six counties that drained the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. And I apologize that I have a cough drop in my mouth. I'm trying to fight back a cough that's lingering. I just want to speak about why the history of Central Coast grower involvement in ag water quality protection is remarkable in California. Growers have been involved with our effort for the last 15 years. They were very proactively involved with the development of the ag plan in the mid-1990s. And that pretty complicated stakeholder process forged a partnership that has really changed how ag water quality protection works in our region. That partnership was based on our identified shared values of protecting water quality and also protecting the productivity of Central Coast ag lands through voluntary stewardship. After that process closed with the ag plan, Central Coast growers really carried the torch for ag water quality protection. Before we even had the staff that we now take for granted, growers were themselves making individual calls to other growers to spread the message to them of why protecting water quality was important and why it was worthwhile to participate in what were entirely voluntary educational initiatives at that time. It was so remarkable that the California Farm Bureau invited Central Coast growers to go to other regions in California to explain to growers in other parts of the state why they were doing this. Why were they bothering to work on protecting water quality? So they were essentially the messenger to other growers. Again, all of this was prior to any kind of regulatory action. When the first ag waiver round came about in our area, Central Coast growers were arguably the most knowledgeable and dedicated growers for ag water quality protection in the state. As the data expands to help us understand the extent of the problem we face, we certainly recognize among AQUA partners that there's...
Can you wrap it up?
Yeah, that there's more and harder work to do. But I just want to urge you to prioritize that collaborative spirit that's in our past and just... Briefly, I want to say that, lest this seem like another plug for Kumbaya, I just want to say, having worked for the two biggest technical service providers for the last 10 years, I think that we're successful with voluntary collaboration from growers, regardless of whether we are working in a regulatory or a non-regulatory context. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker.
My name is Paul Hain. I'm the president of the Central Coast Ag Water Quality Coalition. Fourth generation organic farmer from San Mateo County, and I grow organic poultry and nuts. I can recall back before there was an AQUA, before there was a water quality plan, there was quite a roundup that went on, and out of that grew a model of cooperation in the Central Coast. with everybody involved. AQUA came out of that. The coalition focused mainly as representing growers and as a doing outreach and education to instruct people of management practice, monitoring, things like that, so they could actually recognize and help improve water quality on their own land. Through AQUA, we strengthened the partnership in working with Cooperative Extension and NRCS to get more technical services. I think we realize over the past couple of years, due to budget, state budget crunches and things like that, that has been hampered, and therefore water quality efforts have been hampered. But with minimal staffs and things like that, we forge ahead. And just wanted to end by saying that I think it's that spirit of voluntary cooperation, even in a regulatory environment, that gets the most work done on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman and board, good afternoon. My name is Michael Kahn. I'm an irrigation water resource advisor for University of California Cooperative Extension, and I work here on the Central Coast. I represent the University of California's role in AQUA in terms of the water quality research and education that we do. UC researchers and advisors like myself participate in evaluation and development of practices that can improve farm water quality. However, although we are developing effective practices, these practices can't be used in every situation. We have no solution that works in all situations. And one of the benefits of AQUA has been to work with technical service providers like the RCD, Resource Conservation District, the watershed coordinators through the Farm Bureau, to work together to have a unified approach to working with growers and provide that technical assistance on farm. And I think in the future we're going to have to improve our technical capacity if we want growers to be able to adopt these different practices for their particular landscape and crops.
Hi, my name is Paul Robbins. I'm with the Resource Conservation District of Monterey County. You all saw me in San Luis Obispo. I made a brief comment then as well, pitching for a cooperative approach regarding the waiver revision. And you already know the approach of AQUA. You've heard it described. The RCD approach is nested within that. Our watchwords are locally led conservation. We're non-regulatory, and our work hinges on the confidence and trust that growers and the public and resource agencies place in us as partners that are committed to a shared mission of resource and land stewardship. And also, we provide mutual translation services. What we do together with these partnerships, we don't exist without them, is the kind of studies looking at how we can make vegetated treatment systems or vegetated ditches work. My career is, well, the last 15 years at least, have been committed to this and trying like heck to make it work. And it's not out of giving up that we acknowledge there's limitations. It's out of sheer frustration on my part. But partners have included the EPA, the Ag Research Service, all the universities in the area. And so if you want that local information, please talk to university folks like Michael Kahn, but also Mark Los Huertos, folks out at the Granite Canyon Marine Lab. And we have a current example of this sort of cooperation in terms of a progressive program in Santa Clara County, and it's a partnership with the Santa Clara Valley Water District, the Santa Clara County Farm Bureau, the Ag Water Quality Coalition, UC Extension, cooperating growers, and our RCDs and NRCS, and it's an irrigation efficiency program, and we're trying to fine-tune these things locally. We do have lots of studies that show how wonderful vegetation treatment systems are working and elsewhere. That's the problem, is we have not been able to replicate that on the Central Coast or even in the Central Valley where I started my work. Anyhow, what we're finding in this irrigation efficiency program, which is in its second year, is one, what folks are doing that is right, and being able to work with them in terms of identifying issues. And I'll wrap up. Found out especially that it takes time and a flexible, creative approach to ID these issues and find the actual right treatment that's specific to a locale and a crop, even with the experts on hand. So for voluntary compliance, we are effectively the boots on the ground. So please work with us.
Thank you for your comments.
Good afternoon. I'm Rich Cassell. I'm the district conservationist in Santa Cruz County for the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. I've been assisting farmers personally here on the Central Coast since 1974. NRCS has a very long history of providing science-based technical assistance and cost-share help, enabling farmers and ranchers to address their natural resource concerns through voluntary approaches. We've learned the importance of collaboration and building trust. We rely on our partnerships, such as with RCDs and in AQUA, to guide NRCS assistance, farm bill programs, and make site-specific recommendations. Confidentiality of NRCS assistance has been an important cornerstone of our conservation success and trust building. The relationship has provided growers added confidence and assurance that conservation practices they install and maintain will improve agricultural production and sustainability, provide protection to water quality, quantity, and other natural resources, and keep them in compliance with environmental regulations. For more than 10 years, the NRCS has been actively involved in AQUA. Our collective work as an alliance has allowed shared technical expertise, knowledge, and resources regarding water quality issues, strengthened financial capability and use of available funding, discovery of better and more sustainable practices to protect water quality, and less chance of duplication of and or counterproductive efforts. In the last decade alone, in Region 3, NRCS has awarded farm bill contracts worth over $18 million to help producers implement conservation practices on their farms and ranches. Every identified resource issue requires a site-specific evaluation and solution. No two situations are alike. Recommendations made by NRCS are specifically tailored to the unique set of circumstances that exist on each farm. In addition, changing trends and an ever-changing agricultural landscape all factor into the need for site-specific recommendations, collaboration, and shared technical expertise. We have concerns that the preliminary draft ag order may compromise our ability to work with farmers to support water quality protection and believe that rigid regulatory program will also jeopardize collaborative efforts, which have been critical to protecting water resources. There is no one-size-fits-all solution, and technical expertise must play a central role in the review of recommendations for the ag waiver order. Thanks for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Okay. We'll go to our next speakers, Kay Mercer, which this says you're also part of AQUA, right? You're also part of? Okay. Okay, and then I'm going to read off 10 names, so get ready to come up here. Robert, I think it's Dolzak, possibly. Okay, thank you. Joy Fitzhugh. Hebbard Olson.
I'm going to pass.
Okay, let's put an X through that. Joel Wilkie or Willie? CCA?
Wiley.
Okay. All right. Nina Beatty, Tom Crow, Eric Gerlberg from Watsonville. He already spoke. Okay. All right, great. Okay.
Thank you. I'm Kay Mercer with the Central Coast Ag Water Quality Coalition, and thank you for allowing me to come in front of you. I want to say that I was really gratified to hear the presentation from Lisa that there would be an approach to surface water that takes different conditions into consideration. I wanted to bring before staff and the board some ideas about that might also influence a similar approach to groundwater leachate. And the Center for Water Resources at UC Riverside has developed what they call a nitrate hazard index. It's a model that looks at three primary variables: soil type, the type of irrigation system, and the crop. And it's not enforceable in that it gives you an absolute, but it does give a fantastic indicator or guideline of how water could nitrate could potentially leach out of the crop, out of the crop root zone into groundwater. And it would be a very good indicator or a guide and assistance so that you wouldn't have to apply sort of one regulation, one basic requirement for all growers, because that really isn't what happens out in the environment. There are variables that influence how much leachate actually does move. So that is really the only comment I had. Thank you for your time.
Okay. And Kay, had you shared that with staff before?
Have I shared that with staff before? Yeah. Yes. The coalition provided three educational seminars, one in Santa Maria, Morro Bay, provided this information in three seminars. We had a seminar in Santa Maria. We provided the information at Morro Bay and in Parkville Valley, and staff attended some of those meetings.
Okay, but I meant in terms of formally just letting them know, hey, this exists. This is something you should be looking at and considering.
I don't know. I mean, I know that staff attended at least two of those meetings that we had.
We're actually familiar with the Nitrate Hazard Index, and I appreciate that input when I mentioned in general earlier that we were looking at ways to tier the application of the groundwater protection requirements. That is one of the primary issues that we're looking at are the results of that work out of UC Riverside that we're looking at as a way to do that.
Okay. I just want to make sure the public should know that don't wait to come here to the board to give us new information or something you want staff to consider. Get to staff as soon as you have something that's important. Put it in writing and get it to them. That's really how this system functions best. Okay.
Robert Dolezal, speaking for the California Association of Nurseries and Garden Centers and our members here on the Central Coast. In today's testimony, particularly from the ag section, but also from other stakeholder groups that presented, you heard three common themes, and I'd like to reemphasize those three themes. One is that practices, a broad toolkit of practices, offers the best opportunity to move the needle to the right side of the dial. The second is that goals should be set using science, and they should be determined mutually between the stakeholder groups and the board in order to accomplish its goals. And finally, there's this element of time, how long it will take for these to have measurable effect on legacy problems that may have built up at one part per million for 40 or 50 years. And so I would just invite the board and the staff to focus on those three elements. One of the directions that the staff gave in its comments at the last meeting was to the staff to prioritize, to set targets of what they could accomplish today with the resources they have. And I would emphasize that we haven't had any feedback and we don't know where the cheese is. So when it comes to giving better direction, better input, we need more information back in this two-way process. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Fitzhugh.
Good afternoon. Joy Fitzhugh, San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau, and thank you for this chance to speak this afternoon. I am representing over 1,000 of our Farm Bureau members in San Luis Obispo County that are production agriculturalists, and some of them were able to attend in May, but as with your environmental people, many of them don't have the luxury to come, so I'm standing here talking on their behalf. And I want to acknowledge and thank Mr. Young and the board for their comments at the end of the May meeting, and I definitely appreciate staff is beginning to look at some changes. I do feel there's more things that need to be looked at, such as education. I still think that is a very major part of the program. And even though it's not been, it's been eliminated from the current one, I feel that I was part of and worked with Cooperative Extension in 9 of those courses, and they were very, very effective. You can't put a dipstick in and say this caused this guy to do one better practice. But with new people coming into the field, where do they get the education? And it's not going to be, as Mr. Shimmick said, fee or free if you don't have a system that actually has that as part of it. Many of them aren't going to know where to go. I also want to support our agricultural smart sampling, smart monitoring, because this is actually something that started way before the waiver where they were doing stuff like this already. And I think confidentiality, as has been stated before, is a very positive incentive because you realize you have an opportunity to improve things without having a hammer over your head. I'm not going to go any further, but in conclusion, I know that some of the board members wanted these buttons after last May's meeting, so I'm going to give them to Mr. Thomas to distribute to you, and just remember, don't wave agriculture goodbye.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Wilman?
Wiley. Thank you for being here tonight. This is great. I am a CCA, and we've had a chance to meet with Monica on establishing targets, and crop removal rates. And it's a pretty complex issue when you look at the key critical crops that they're focused on, being strawberries, broccoli, lettuce, cauliflower, and celery. Having each one of those things having the potential to have parts of that plant removed and other parts left in the field. So crop removal targets is a pretty difficult standard to set. And I know Monica is working with a group of CCAs to do that. And it's going to be a difficult task. I was concerned when I saw that the extension for the 18-month extension was denied, because it is going to take all of that to try to put that kind of information together to be workable with your plan. The other part of this is I don't think there's enough technology, people available as CCAs, to be able to sign off these nutrient plans. There was one individual that came to our CCA meeting in San Luis Obispo that was from Region 5, and he's working with the dairy industry. He's working with 110 dairies, and he has 12 individuals working full-time on these nutrient plans. I have a grower that handles 140 different lots and blocks with different crops, different soils, different types. Can you imagine the complexity and the issues you're faced with now that person is probably going to need at least, if it's 110 people, 12 people to do 110 dairies, what it's going to require to do 140 blocks for one grower and the number of people it'll take to do an extensive nutrient plan. I think it's really important that we create attainable metrics that are valued by all parties. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Nina Beatty? B-E-E-T-Y? Okay. It's either Tom, I think it's Tom Crow from Carmel Valley. Okay, not here. Elaine Ruckel. And then Cecil Mills, John Beard. Looks like Lois Robin. Someone didn't put their name on here, but they're from Boulder Creek. Okay. There just isn't a name. It just said workshop. So, yeah. What is your name? Carol Carson? Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Ruckel.
Thank you. My name's Elaine Ruckel, and it's the first time I've ever done anything like this, and it won't be the last.
Well, take a deep breath.
Thank you. Can you hear my heart pounding? I'm here as a steward of Mother Earth, a mom and a grandma. My children and grandchildren own a home located directly across the street from strawberry fields in Watsonville, and they get notices on their door from the growers that they'll be spraying, and they're to stay, close windows and doors, stay inside. And they have had children, and my little grandson gets fevers and rashes and diarrhea when this comes about, and they have a new baby, and we have no idea if there'll be health issues there. So I'm very heartfelt about you regulating and doing what you're doing, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And as members of the human race, I think we need to stop extending and postponing and delaying and do it now. And I'm kind of glad you only went till March. I think that seems like a good thing. I'm going to share with you some words on water, since that's what we're talking about. Water is the living matrix. Water is used for all cellular activity and function. Water is critical for efficient kidney function and waste elimination. It controls our body temperature. It's essential solvent and transport system for nutrients and oxygen. It lubricates our lungs and digestive tract, it cushions our joints. Water protects your eyes. Water is what makes blood cells circulate. Water comprises 20% of bone mass and 75% of body mass. So I think it's pretty important we have healthy water, and all of us have healthy water. We're all one in this big, beautiful Mother Earth, and we all need to take care of each other. I don't think you can put a price tag on human health and on Mother Earth. No amount of money will rectify what happened in the Gulf, where regulations were not met, and no amount of money is worth jeopardizing our children and grandchildren and their health and our own health. Decline of water quality will put us in that type of jeopardy. Thank you.
A question for you. When your family has had health reactions, do you think it's from overspray of pesticides?
I think it's from because they're right across the street from it, and yeah, I do.
Do you call the Agricultural Commissioner's office?
The kids have lived there for 5 years and have always just kind of dealt with this, and then now the kids.
Well, how have you dealt with it?
They just think that's...
Just accept.
Yeah, just didn't occur to us that we should tell somebody about it, about the spraying. It's occurred to us now, so...
Okay, you should call...
And that's why I'm here. That's one of the reasons I'm here, and I'm being an activist in my old age.
Okay, good. All right.
Thank you.
Cecil Mills?
Hi, Cecile. Thank you again. As a former educator, I'd like to remind all of you of taking tests in school. You were presented with information and then you were evaluated. We've all gone through it. We know how the process works. I'm encouraging you to consider writing clear, measurable objectives, followed by an evaluation of those objectives to see if they were met, just like we used to do in school. What happens if the objectives are not met? You redesign the processes until those objectives are met. And it's fairly simple. Writing those objectives is key. How would you get exactly the right language? Well, one way to do that would be to create a website where discussion area might allow for people to put in suggested language. They could suggest monitoring methods. They could share implementation and processes, and it would create a knowledge base. Why would you do that? Well, it would determine more of this action by mutual discussion. It would certainly involve more people. It would bring in diverse thinking. You would be able to view multiple solutions, and it would certainly enlarge your presence in the discussion on water. Because until like last week, I didn't know you guys existed. I live in one of those red spots they showed on the Google map where the well water is unusable due to nitrates. This is one reason I'm here. You also have a model for how to implement this with the state organic certification system. You could do that for all farms, and it would employ more people. What a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. John Beard?
Almost a good evening, Board. I'm John Beard, and I've been farming for 30 years, actually a nursery grower. I don't think my kids will continue in my footsteps. They're doing other things. But I realize most everything I wanted to talk about has already been targeted tonight, today. But I would like you to take your time in implementing the waiver. This is a problem that's taken 100 years in the making, and it's certainly not something that we can clean up overnight, as you probably know. So give it time, please, and patience. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Lois Robin?
Lois, who's with the Pajaro River Committee, had to leave. Okay. So I was going to speak in her place.
And who are you?
My name's Deirdre Desjardins.
Ah, you are the next card.
Okay. So I'll just... Lois and a number of people live in the Watsonville area, and they've worked a long time on restoring the Pajaro River to health. It is an impaired water body, and implementing these standards is critical for restoring it as a healthy river. I'm sorry, I don't have as much detail as Lois had. Lois is also concerned about cutting of riparian vegetation along the river, and we hope that the board will find other ways to achieve these goals that protect riparian habitat. Particularly, Lois wanted to speak about impact.
Wait, make these your comments.
I'm
not letting you speak for her.
Okay,
she's not
then
here.
I'll talk about Elkhorn Slough. Is in the it is one of the bodies that receives this impaired water, particularly nitrates. Elkhorn Slough is severely eutrophic. The Elkhorn Slough Foundation is very concerned that it might tip over to the point where the dissolved oxygen levels get so low that crabs and other sea life in the slough will die. There are a number of commercially important fish that breed in the estuary, flatfish, including flounder and halibut, feed on eelgrass, breed and spawn on the eelgrass beds, and they're concerned that you might start seeing, you know, die-offs of those particular species of fish. There's 100 sea otters that are present in the Moss Landing Harbor at times. They eat the clams, you know, so it's very critical for the health of the bay. While the runoffs may not be impacting the entire area, these estuaries and river mouths are one of the most fertile areas, and they're critically important for the entire ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Carol Carson, followed by Richard Smith and Dave Kavanaugh and Rick, I think it's sour wine. Go ahead.
Hi. Carol Carson. I do some volunteering with Coastal Watershed Council, which is located in this wonderful county of Santa Cruz, greatest place to live. Some of the things that we do other than ongoing analysis of the water is that we have events, and one of these we had recently a few months ago that we call Snapshot Day. And what people who care about the water quality here from Big Sur and to all the way up to Half Moon Bay is that we all get together on one particular day, and this happens yearly, and we go to all of the streams that our team has to do water analysis with. So we're out in the rivers and the streams and the creeks, and then we all put back our information. That information is then sent out to an outside lab. It's totally transparent. We don't have any dog in that fight, you know, and it's perfectly open for anybody with the public to see what we have found. It's such an easy way to do things that I'm amazed at agribusinesses being talking to us about how hard it is to do this. I mean, we'd be more than happy to show them how easy it would be to put together this. And also, I really am concerned about their accountability. Maybe I'm just not a trusting person, but I have seen their track record, and I don't see that the Farm Bureau has acted in the best interest of water quality. They ask their members to please fight against the Clean Water Act. They ask their members to please support the AB 15 whatever bill for offshore drilling, which thank goodness our representatives are a lot smarter than those, I guess, around the Gulf of Mexico because we defeated that bill. They've also decided that they think that methyl iodide is a good thing. And as a matter of fact, if I can quote from their website.
You'll have to wrap it up with your quote. Go ahead.
They think that the registration of methyl iodide provides California farmers with more flexibility in providing safe, affordable food for consumers. Am I correct, Mr. Young, that you have sent, the board has sent a letter to the governor opposed to that?
Our agency?
Yeah, we sent a letter to the Department of Pesticide Regulation, I believe it was.
So you are against that. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Richard Smith? No Richard Smith. Dave Kavanaugh? Okay. All right. Rick Sauerwein? Okay. Followed by Phoenix Artemisia? And then Jim Manicero? And David Costa. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Rick Sauerwein. I'm a registered civil engineer in three states, have worked for over 30 years as a civil engineer. I'm a first generation avocado grower.
Well, that doesn't, you know.
That's right. I'm a rookie.
In this crowd,
I'm a rookie at this.
You know, you're like the rest of us.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
I'm here today to share with you, first of all, that I've had an opportunity in my career to work closely with the L.A. Regional Board as the Director of Environmental Programs for the United States Navy down in Ventura County, the Naval Base of Ventura County. And in that capacity, we were able to very successfully work to remediate both surface and groundwater contamination that had resulted from many, many years of bad management practices. That program was successful to the point that the Secretary of the Navy and the Department, or the Secretary of Defense, awarded the pollution prevention program to our staff in 1995, and I was one of the first recipients of the White House Closing the Circle Award in 1995. That aside, I want to tell you that given my experience with working through regulatory issues, I'm encouraged by what I've heard here today, but yet I also have some concerns. I think the staff is headed in the right direction when they start talking about tiered approaches and not one size fits all. I think that's absolutely essential because I can tell you that the impact of the rules as they are drafted right now on my 7.5-acre avocado operation is it would result in removing over 10% of my trees from production. It also would remove a lot of that vegetative and riparian habitat that Mr. Shimek has said is so important. And so there are areas that need to be addressed in the rules, but I think the most important thing for the board to consider is that you can't eat this elephant all in one bite.
Okay, why would you have to remove 10% of your crop?
Because it would lie within 50 feet of a creek. So as I understand the three-tiered setup that you have right now, if you lie within 50 feet of the creek, you have to take your trees or all crops out of production within that.
I don't know whether that's true or not, but staff will have to look at that.
Yeah,
unless you have an answer.
It's not true. We've talked to other orchard owners over the past several months and explained that what we want is vegetation in the riparian area, and trees are good. It may mean that you have to have a more heavy ground cover in that 50-foot or 75-foot or 100-foot buffer area than you have now. But we're certainly not saying take trees out of the riparian area.
All right. Thank you for your
That's
comments.
Certainly encouraging. And the one other element that I think is absolutely critical in your considerations is that as you develop the rule, bite off the pieces where you can have some success. Don't try to come up with a rule that is totally comprehensive in nature. Go where you can get some immediate success and build a system where you have continued stakeholder involvement so that you can build the trust that obviously is lacking right now between the various parties in this interest. This is a long-term marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's what we're trying to do. Thank you for your comments. Phoenix Artemisia? Okay. She's not here, or he's not here. Jim Manicero? And then David Costa after him.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Board and staff. I, too, am a first-generation farmer, but I'm so damn old I've lived longer than some two-generation farmers. I've listened to a lot of speakers kind of talk about the benefits of hedgerows and leafy buffer zones and all of that stuff, and nobody's talked about food safety. And I've been involved in food safety programs for 20 years, and the 2006 spinach wasn't the first one. There were many others before that. That was just the one that got the public notice. Many of those conservation things, and the company I represent that I work for, does a great deal of conservation efforts. We work with NRCS, with RCD, with AQUA, with many other groups in an attempt to preserve as much conservation efforts as we can. The item that is often forgotten is that conservation, vegetative treatment systems, buffer zones, trees, riparian habitat, all provide harbors for vectors of E. coli. You've heard quoted how 6 meters, or 1 meter, 6 feet, would eliminate and filter out the E. coli from a cow patty. That's true. Ken Tate did that research. He says it's true. I believe it. What it doesn't do is affect the crow that picked out grain from that cow patty and then flew over a lettuce field and did his job on a lettuce leaf. Those are the things that have to be considered in here, and most of the speakers today have poo-pooed food safety. It's a very low percentage. Cowbirds, crows, 5%. Pigs, 4%. Deer mice, 1% to 2%. They all pack E. coli. If your kid got E. coli from eating that lettuce, would you feel that 1% was not worth talking about? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Shallcross has a question for you.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question for you. How is removing riparian buffer or a vegetative buffer going to keep a crow from eating a kernel from a cow patty and then flying over your field?
It's not, but you don't need to have a row of trees right along your field. And we have not removed any of these, okay? Mm-hmm. What I'm telling you is that when you provide harborage, you're going to cause a problem. And I don't know how you prevent a crow from flying over the field.
Hair crows.
Pardon? Shotguns don't work. They're smarter than I am. They never get close to you when you have a shotgun. Was that it?
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Jim Moore? No.
Costa.
No? Dave Costa. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm trying to move
Well,
this
I
ahead.
Have to disagree with the fellow in front of me. Okay. I'm Jim Moore, and I represent a company called Phytoremediation Engineering. And we basically just want to clean up the water, and we think the way to do it is to start with the runoff with a riparian buffer that's engineered to do that. That should be monitored. I'd like to propose a project, pilot project in each county. If there are any farmers who would work with us, then we would set that up, do all the planning, and figure out how it's going to happen. And that's pretty much the basis. I agree in most parts with the channel keeper guy, coast keeper, and I think it's time to start cleaning it up and stop fussing about who's going to do what. And I would like to move in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, David Costa, followed by Bill Leip, Darlene Din, Sarah Green, April Mackey. Yep, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Young, board members, and staff. My name is David Costa. I'm a farmer in the Salinas Valley. This morning, staff made a comment that nitrate loading that is going on now may not show up in the groundwater data for 20 years. And I just wanted to ask, wouldn't the reverse also be true, that the progress in any reductions in nitrate loading now or that has occurred may not be reflected in the same data for 20 years? I think just once, I'd like to hear both scenarios presented at the same time. With regards to wildlife, I think as growers, we're desperate to find a balance. Until you've gotten a call from the FDA saying that they're coming in the morning and that you may have supplied product implicated in a food illness outbreak, you really don't know what it's like. A year and a half ago, a friend of mine had them on his ranch every day for 3 full weeks after his company was implicated in an outbreak, and he said it felt like a 3-week colonoscopy. Okay, and that was 7 days a week. They didn't take off on Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, I hope that was with the medication that they give you.
They even had a dog, a trained dog named Zero, that would sniff out feces or animal droppings, and then they would dig around until they found it, and they'd bag it, and they'd send it off to the lab. So that's the extent that things have gotten to. To this day, 18 months later, he still hasn't gotten closure on the issue with regards to his potential association with this outbreak. So the issue is real. My most recent call came 2 months ago involving a positive test for salmonella, of which I was one of 3 suppliers to a particular processor. And it was stated that birds were the likely carrier, and the FDA arrived prepared to collect 300 environmental samples from the area surrounding my 1 10-acre field where the product came from. And that included soil from rodent holes and runways and searches for water bodies nearby, bird activity, and droppings. So it's not just an E. coli issue, as the salmonella issue showed. The food safety issue is real. The liability to growers is real, and we're desperate to find a balance. And lastly, I'd just like to make sure that everyone realizes that not all parcels adjacent to a water body slope to the water body. And so a blanket buffer application in some instances serves no purpose with surface water runoff.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. You. Bill Leip?
Thank you, Chairman Young. And before I start, I might offer a little bit. You asked a question a while back when the gentleman from Monterey County was here about the drop in fertilizer sales or nitrogen sales. Tons of nitrogen sold, I believe, for CDFA data. Yeah. And just as just a little bit of an expert opinion, in 08, there was a huge price increase on product, which drove sales down. Farmers were looking, obviously, to get by as low as possible. And a federal judge had an order over in Central Valley, which shut down quite a bit of farmland, thousands and thousands of acres. So that might help explain the drop in nitrogen sold. Okay. I thought I'd just offer that up to you.
Thank you.
So thank you, Chairman Young and members of the board. I appreciate your time. I got to spend a little bit of time with you down in San Luis as well at the last workshop meeting. And, you know, I just want to state that there's a lot of people that feel, you know, Central Coast farmers are some of the best people in the world. They're innovative. They live on the land. They act as stewards of their land. They hunt, fish, bike, drink the water, swim in the lakes, swim in the rivers, just like everybody else. And I think it's shown today through some of the presentations that not just the ag presentation, but other groups that people in agriculture and farmers in particular are very much concerned about the land, the water, and sustainability. Many of them are multi-generational farmers. They want their sons and daughters to go on living the dream that they've been able to realize. And what's at stake here for a lot of us, and I represent a fertilizer company, I'll admit that straight up, one of several in the Salinas Valley. Those dreams are in a lot of people's minds is in great jeopardy. We have an unelected bureaucratic body drafting policy in accordance with legislative law that is literally jeopardizing the business, a business that creates billions and billions of dollars, supports tens and thousands of families, and it makes their livelihood. And we love to live here. We love the area, and it's just very worrisome that the aggressive agenda being set forth, you know, like several people have already said, it took 100 years for us to get to where we are now. And to think that in 2, 4, or 6 years it's going to be cleaned up is just simply unrealistic. And it's not fair. And my fear is that obviously is if the dream dies and everybody leaves, they go to Mexico or they go to South America or Arizona or wherever else, that once it's gone, it's gone. It's not coming back. And as a native son of California, I won't get into all the generations of many people here longer than my family, but I am second generation. I don't want that dream to die, and I don't want the lovely people, really good people of the Salinas Valley and the Central Coast in general, to lose their dreams and to lose a very valuable industry, not only to our local community but to the state overall. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Darlene Din, and then Sarah Green.
Good afternoon, board members. Darlene Din. I live in Watsonville, the city proper. Thank you for being in my hometown. It's you look kind of interesting up there when I'm used to looking at the city council, so it's new faces. I wanted to take this opportunity to hit a couple points, and those are process points, because what I do is agricultural public policy, and I sit in meetings. There's a couple things that I think are really important. Usually when people sit in meetings, you do hear a very diverse, and you hear themes, but there's also rooms for compromise within those themes. And in a regulatory environment, I just think that the carrot approach being one of the tools is really an important approach. And since I personally, I'm not embarrassed, I'll tell you, I'm 52 years old, and I started working on public policy in 1974, my junior year in high school, and my first project was the Pajaro River and the Flood Control Project, and we're still working on it. So I understand that things take a long time. So that leads me into why the process is so disconcerting to me. Agriculture by statute, and your lawyer's gone, but she did reaffirm this yesterday's meeting, is that we're under non-point source laws. And I would just really ask you, when you look in cooperation and you look at your regulatory framework, and I caution to not take such a strong point source approach. Well, I do know you have authority, and I respect that authority. I would just, you know, caution you to step back and realize we will probably do more by finding the on-the-ground, mud-in-the-boots solutions. That's how you do water quality. And while I appreciate that point source or going directly at an issue and assuming that it will be one, my dad, who's 90 years old, and his family can go back to the 1600s, not in California, but Nebraska and Germany, you know, he always said when you fixed one thing on a farm, three more things went wrong. So I thank you for your time, and I would just ask you to look at that process.
Okay, and Ms. Din, just so you know, what Francis said yesterday was that ag is not considered a point source under the federal Clean Water Act.
And I know under Port of Cologne.
State law, There is not that distinction.
I understand, Jeffrey. Okay. I just ask you to look at it in a broader framework.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Green, now, you're not going to speak on behalf of CCWQP because they've already had their allotted time. So if you have something else that you want to share with us, member of the public, that's fine. But, you know, that was part of the deal, is that we'd have this collaborative grouped effort.
Okay. Excuse me. Then I'll just go ahead and ask whether or not I can speak to this in this forum. And if not, I'll sit down. I just wanted to offer, based on the questions that were asked of Dr. Hartz following the ag presentation, I was concerned that there were some aspects of my presentation that needed clarification, and I was going to make those clarifications. But if the time for that is up, then...
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that there was any clarification needed.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Unless I'm wrong, Mr. Shawcross?
You know, no, that's fine. But, you know, if you do want to write us a letter of clarification, that would be welcome. You know, just stating what you thought needed to be clarified.
I'm just trying to make sure we get out of here by 5. So otherwise, I
just wanted to say real briefly.
Is this April Mackey?
I just wanted to say real briefly, I had some remarks about Santa Cruz Agriculture. They have existing riparian buffers, and I'm going to send a letter to it about it. That was the remarks that I prepared, but I gave Lois's remarks instead.
Okay, and your name?
Deirdre Desjardins.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. April Mackey.
Good evening, Chairman Young, board, and staff. My name is April Mackey, and I am a grower here in the Salinas Valley. We grow all the way from Castroville to San Ardo with over 3,000 acres. I am the Food Safety, Water Quality, and Organic Programs Manager, so I manage all three aspects that everybody has discussed here today. But I have a few recommendations in moving forward, so it's probably nice that I'm one of the last ones to speak. From a grower's perspective, I'd like you to consider working towards your board's recommendation from the May workshop to pursue and work with agriculture and other entities to develop an achievable solution. The ag industry has provided you with much criticism, technical information, and examples of successful solutions. It would be extremely beneficial for each of you to come out onto our operations, get your boots dirty, and become educated and knowledgeable about all of the technical and practical aspects that would help answer many of the concerns and questions that you guys posed today. Myself and other growers have invited you out to our operations in the past, and I challenge your board to take us up on these offers in order to help guide you in making achievable and logical decisions. Farmers want to work with you and comply with regulations to improve water quality, but we want to do so in a logical and somewhat economical manner because we don't have a choice of which wells we use. We use what we have. You may not think that the ag proposal is perfect, but it has many more achievable standards and recommendations than the staff's original proposal. I look forward to you taking me up on this challenge and working with my fellow farmers. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker is Gustavo Gonzalez.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and board members. My name is Gustavo Gonzalez, and I'm an analyst with the Santa Cruz County Supervisor Tony Campos' office. And the supervisor regrets he couldn't attend today because he had a previously planned trip, but nevertheless, he just asked me to hear the testimony and just make a few comments on his behalf. First, it can't be disputed that water quality is a concern, and certainly water supply is a concern in this area. But also it's also important to recognize in terms of any planned regulation that you plan to implement that there are already also some regulation that exists in Santa Cruz County. As you may know, that Santa Cruz County has a reputation of being environmentally conscious, and there are, for example, there's an existing commission on the environment. There's also an agricultural policy advisory committee, and there's already existing regulation with respect to buffers between ag uses, land uses, and as an earlier speaker had mentioned, riparian corridor buffers, and that varies depending on the type of water body. So I think it's important to recognize that so there isn't any duplicative effort or that perhaps maybe the regulation that exists, you know, it serves well maybe to the for the board to kind of look at that.
And is that buffer geared towards water quality protection or just some other adjacent land use practice?
I know it came about as a result of environmental awareness back in the 70s. So it's been in existence for a long period of time. I don't know if it's been amended over time, but it speaks to ephemeral streams, perennial streams, lakes, and arroyos. So it, depending on the type of water body and also sometimes the slope, it actually varies.
Okay.
Second, the supervisor thought it was important.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Just to recognize the current state of the economy. The supervisor district includes Watsonville, the outlying area of the Pajaro Valley, and we have a high unemployment rate of upwards of 20%. So we ask that you really take that into consideration in terms of the policy that's implemented and also the timing of any policy that might have to come into play. Thirdly, enforcement, because, again, Santa Cruz County is kind of a leader in environmental awareness and environmental enforcement. Sometimes environmental enforcement falls short in times of deficits. And recently the county made, as you may know, a $17 million cut to their budget. And so I think that's important to recognize because that certainly would translate to the state enforcement. And so practical, in summary, it's important just to consider the certainly water quality is important, but we should it should be certainly allow for sustainable land, local water supply. So that could probably be tied into the local issue here with respect to water supply that's been going on. And also please take in consideration the economics impact that it may have on the area.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Please. A couple questions.
Certainly.
Let's see. What was the first one? The perhaps our staff has done this already, and I'm not aware of it, but have you compared your riparian buffer requirements to our draft requirements?
You know, I haven't. I don't have the specifics. My understanding, it's 100 feet that was
Well, it's variable.
Okay.
Okay. You haven't compared those?
No, we don't have the specifics.
If we haven't done that already, we will do that. Okay. Second question was we've had comments about, you know, that such a regulation would constitute a regulatory taking. Were you sued or otherwise, did you have claims against you for regulatory taking with having that regulation in place?
Well, you know, this regulation has been in place since the 1970s. I will tell you that there is existing land where the county had recognized what they call grandfather rights because the land use that had existed predated, you know, say in this case the riparian corridor, but I think it's very rare, and there are only few exceptions where that's found. I believe in at least the 4th district of Santa Cruz County.
So the answer to my question is you haven't had any claims of regulatory taking.
I probably can't speak definitively to that question. Certainly, I've worked with supervisor approaching 5 years. In that amount of time, I've not been informed of any claims.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Right, thank you.
Mr. Shallcross?
Oh, no, I was just going to say it might be worthwhile to have our staff get in touch with their county council to look into that issue,
right,
whether there's been any claims.
Probably would have happened after the ordinance was passed, you know, would be my guess.
But they would have records, hopefully.
They would, yeah. Okay, that thanks. Yeah. Okay, that concludes public comment on this. Up to the board.